I have to say, everybody, I have listened to the, you know, the videos on that, of that's those songs that Liang sang with us and Lisa sang with us today. I listened to them this week in preparation to, you know, get to know them a little bit. And I really like the way that Liang and Lisa sing them so much better than the ones that I watch on YouTube. We are so blessed to have them there and to be here with us to lead our songs today and to worship God. I also want to share something that was funny the other day. It was actually last Sunday when we had the children's ministry in the afternoon. We have a Zoom Sunday school class for them led by all the wonderful Sunday school teachers. And there was one song that was being provided on a video and the kids were going to sing along and all of them unmuted themselves and couldn't really hear the music from the video. And all you heard were the kids singing the song. And I'm not sure if they all knew the song or not, but it was just so much fun listening to them and all their voices coming through, and they were laughing and just having such a great time. We're so blessed to have the children's ministry and all the teachers leading that and having them on with Zoom. I think we have too many people on this Zoom call to have everybody unmuted during the worship time. But I just thought you'd enjoy hearing about the others and how they're experiencing it and really having a great time of worship in their time in the afternoon. So please pray for them and continue to lift them up. We have a wonderful group of young people coming each week and their parents too. Just pray for them and continue blessings on all of them. Well, this is the time for the children's message. And I don't know who is there to watch or the children. I can't see beyond my own face on this screen. So I'll trust that there are some children there watching. If not, then the adults can also gain a lot from this message today, I think also. It's from Brother Khan. He wrote a great book on different devotions, and I want to share some words from him. He's a Jewish Christian, a rabbi, and also a pastor, and he has wonderful things to share. And in one of the sharings that he has, he talks about what I hope we can show on the screen right now. If Alfred has that picture, we can show it. I don't know if you can see what is on the forehead and on the arm of this young man. He's a young Jewish man who has done his bar mitzvah. And what he has on his head and his arm is referred to as a tefillin. Tefillin. And it's worn by Orthodox Jews. And this leather box above the forehead is then put around with the band. And then they also have a band around the arm and the hand. And what is important here is not so much what is in what you know, the box itself. It's actually what is inside of the box. And inside of the box are little parchments of scripture. And so it really draws from the scripture in the book of Deuteronomy that tells us that we're supposed to bind the word of God into our hearts. And so they take that and they put it up on their head too, so that it would also come into their thoughts. So this is a really great picture of a young man who is doing that. And then he's binding the word of God also on his arm as a reminder that we are to have the word of God living inside of us. And it's a really good reminder for all of us, I think, that we may not be doing this kind of an outward type of an expression ourselves, but it reminds us how important the word of God is in our lives. Paul, who was a Jew, also wrote in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 5, he says, take every thought captive to obey Christ. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. And this is a really great reminder for us also, right? We want to take it captive. We want to own it. We want it to be a part of us. And so the word of God is something that we want to dwell on and to read. And that's why, children, you are learning the word of God, so that you would have it become a part of you, so that you have truly God living inside of you. And on this Ascension Sunday, where Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to be with God, we are learning all of these wonderful words about what he did for us on this day through God's scripture that he has written for us. And there are so many blessings that come into us through the word of God. And so try to remember the image that you saw in this young Jewish boy in binding the word of God around their head with the little box with the scripture inside of it, and also binding it on the arm and the hand. So that really becomes a reminder to us of just in how close that we want to be to God, how we want to read the word of God, how we want to eat the word of God, really, just so it becomes a part of us. And when we do that, then we have victory in life. It frees us from our sins. I mean, when we learn about Jesus dying on the cross, it frees us from all of the things that we've done wrong that hold us back in life and allows us to go forward. It reminds us of the eternal life that we have in heaven, because God's words tells us that. It also gives us teaching on how to live, that we shouldn't lie, that we should be truthful, that we should be faithful, that we shouldn't steal. We don't take things that are not ours. All of these things that God gives to us in our lives to help us to live a life that is godly. So remember the teraphim and the idea that we are to bind God's word so closely to our hearts and our minds. So he becomes what we think about. We want to think godly thoughts. We want to think Jesus's thoughts each day. All right, so please remember that. At this time, I'm going to say a prayer for everyone. As we go into the word of God after this, we want to have a time of prayer for the entire church. So if you have a bulletin, you can take that out, and I'm going to read a prayer that I have prepared based on the Ascension Sunday. And it's incorporating the word of God into these words of the prayer so that we'll be reminded of that. And you can keep this prayer and pray along with me. And then after that, I'll pray a little bit longer for some other things that we want to lift up to the Lord. So let us pray. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we praise you on this day of remembering your ascension into heaven. Our hearts are filled with joy because you are receiving the glory, honor, and authority you had before you came to earth. And even more now, because you are the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. We acknowledge that you are raised from the dead and sitting at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. Angels, authorities, and powers are subject to you. Your ascension to heaven means for us that one day we shall ascend to heaven with you. Our final home will be in heaven with you. Help us to be filled with joy and hope as we humbly recall your words that he who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. We worship you, our glorious Savior. Father, we are reminded of your Son Jesus and how he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. And we praise you on this day. We praise you that we can have this victory because we are one with Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we can experience victory even in troubled times, that you are always with us, and that you have a promise of great things ahead of us that we can do for you and that we will experience in you. Father, today on this Memorial Day, we also want to remember those who have lost their lives in fighting for our country, that have paid the ultimate price, Lord. We pray that you'll be with their families on this day as they remember their loved ones and fill them with your spirit and your love. We pray, Father, that you'll be with those who are serving in the world today and that may be far away from their families at this time and are missing them. We pray, Father, that you'll bless them and give them good health. We pray, Father, that there won't be a need for them, Lord, in the military, Lord, so that they don't have to lose their lives. We pray, Father, for a protection on them. We pray, Father, for peace in our world. We pray, Father, that the grace of Jesus Christ will be spread to all nations and that love will abound and will be the victory that resounds instead of war, Lord, and all of these other things that we experience in this time. We pray, Father, that you will bless all of the leaders in every nation, Father, that they will hear your voice and that they will obey it when they hear you. Father, that they will humble themselves just as Jesus did, and to see that the true leader is one who sacrifices for the sake of others. And Lord, that they can trust in you, and leaders need to put their faith in Almighty God. We pray, Father, for every nation, that they would hear the name of Jesus and that they would be saved. And so we pray, Father, for missionaries and all of our missionaries that we support. And we pray, Father, for their work and your guidance in their lives during this time, so that they would not be lonely, Lord, but know that they are loved by you and that we love them as well. We pray, Father, that you'll raise up new missionaries, Father, among us from our church, that you will raise up preachers of your word so that the gospel will be shouted out from the mountaintops, in the valleys, everywhere, Father, in this entire world. We pray, Father, that you would help us to know that even in times of this virus, that your power is at work. And Lord, that we are to respond to that word, that your power is at work, and step out in faith to follow Jesus and to proclaim your word, so that people will know that even when death strikes, that they will live eternally with you in heaven. We pray, Father, that you'll bless all of our children. We pray, Father, for your watch care over them and their parents, for the teachers in our church, Lord, who are teaching them your word, and their safety and inspiration. We pray, Father, for the youth. We pray, Father, for the college students. We pray, Father, for young adults, for all of these people, Lord, that in this age group, so that they will know that Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and that they have a true friend in Jesus, and that even though there's disappointment, that, Lord, you come into those areas of disappointment with your fresh love and your amazing love and your perfect love that can touch into the deepest sorrow and lift it out and to bring it into your hope. We thank you, Father, that you possess that power. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit has been given to us for that purpose, so that we would be comforted and encouraged and helped. All the things that the Holy Spirit presents, Father, all those things that are found in you. And so we praise you, Father, for this word of yours. And we praise you for the word of God that comes to us today. Lord, we're going to be reading many, many verses of yours today. We pray, Father, for the attentiveness that we need to be able to bring those words into our hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll help to bind your word into our minds and into our hearts. Lord, all over our arms and our heads, Lord, and our feet and our legs, but more importantly, Father, into our hearts and into our minds. Let our souls be living ones for you. Breathe into us, Lord, with your word, and let us receive it. And Lord, help us to grow as brothers and sisters in you, to remember, Father, that we may be experiencing a difficult time, but Father, you have given us one another to encourage each other. You have given us each other to be reminded of the great love of Jesus. You have given us, Father, songs that are lifted up and are provided for us so that we can worship you together. Yes, Lord, you are good and great, and we praise you. And Lord, there are things that we may not fully understand right now and have a grasp of because we're so limited, Father, here. But help us to know that there is a connection to you in heaven through Jesus, the mediator, that he is the one who connected to us when he came into the world, and he lived here and died for us and lives again, so that we would know that we are connected to you, and that we are connected because he died for our sins, and now we are free to worship you. Lord, we are also connected to you in your Holy Spirit, and so let your Holy Spirit work through your words. But the words of my mouth, Lord, be your words. And Lord, just bless them as we go into reading of your word. And the rest of this service we put into your hands, and thank you, Father. Please, Father, bless the sick, bless the weary, lift them up, encourage them, Father. Bless those who are helping the sick, bless those who are serving, and that they would know, Lord, that you are with them this day. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's time now for our scripture reading, and it's found in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, today is Ascension Sunday. Actually, the day of Ascension was this past Thursday. Jesus, after he was killed and he resurrected, he spent 40 days with his disciples and with others preaching the gospel and talking about the kingdom, just as we read about here. And so we're going to talk about the Ascension today on this Sunday to learn about it and to remind us ourselves of how important the Ascension really is. I don't know about you, but I think in my life, I have tended not to think so much about the Ascension. I felt more like, okay, Jesus went up to heaven. You know, I've heard that, and I didn't know that there was so much behind it, but actually there's a wealth of information in the Bible provided to us all through the Bible, actually, to help us to understand what occurred on that day and to really understand the importance of it. And so it's really exciting to have this opportunity today to look at God's scripture together. And like I prayed in my prayer, there's going to be a lot of different scriptures that I'm going to read, because I think it's important to use scripture to understand and clarify these kind of events for us, so that we see that it isn't just our emotions or the things that come out of us that really explain things. Those things are important too, but really it's founded on the word of God. Just like the boy who had the box on his head that was reminding him of the importance of the word of God to come into him. We also want to have that sense and bringing these things in. And I'm going to try my best to read slowly so that you can write these things down. So if you have a pencil with you, you can write down the scripture, at least the scripture numbers for the books and the chapter and the verses. And then I can also send them out this week for you if you'd rather have it that way. But let's just take a look at what we just read for a moment, and then I'm going to expand upon that and explain what the Bible has to say about the Ascension for us. And so at this time, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and it was right before he was going to ascend into heaven. He was going to be lifted up in front of them, visually, physically lifted up, carried up into heaven. And so he was talking to them about all of these different things, about the kingdom of God, and he was telling them, stay in Jerusalem. And he said something very, very important in regards to what is coming next week and in the sermon for next week, and that is about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so they were to remain in Jerusalem because there was going to come an outpouring from heaven through the Holy Spirit, and there was going to be this great movement that really initiated the entire church. But he's telling them, stay where you are, and do not move from here, because in due time, the Holy Spirit will be coming upon you. And so they were asking him, Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And so they were asking him this kind of a question, but he guided them and said, no, it is not for you to know the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. In other words, be patient, wait patiently for these things. And if they were thinking about the establishment of the kingdom of God on the earth, then they were not grasping totally what he was talking about. But he guided them really to just wait for the kingdom of God to be made clear. And he tells them in verse 8 that they're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And so he's preparing them for this time when he's going to be leaving them by telling them that they are going to remain there, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that they were going to be his witnesses there. And then at the next moment in verse 9, we read this ascension verse: when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of sight, out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." And so Jesus, in his physical form, and this is also very important, he was taken from them so that they visibly saw him do exactly what he said he was going to do. And it could have been otherwise. Jesus could have, if he chose so, or if the Father chose so, he could have resurrected from the dead and went immediately up into heaven, and they wouldn't have seen him again, and they would have been left to think, what has happened here? But first Jesus appeared to them, and he taught them for 40 days that he was truly alive, that he had been resurrected from the dead, and that he was also talking about the kingdom of God with them. And he was also preparing them for the work that they were going to do in the kingdom of God, and eventually leading up to Pentecost, where the church came into being. And so we have this amazing sight that they see here. He wanted them to see him, right? He wanted to be seen as he was brought up into heaven in that way. And so they had that memory of him in that way. Now, if I were there, I would have been dumbfounded. I would have been astounded. I think you probably would have been too, to think that, okay, maybe Jesus said something about this, but to actually see someone lifted up in that way into the clouds in that manner had to be a wild moment, right? And so what God did in his great mercy, and also with his purpose, was to send two men who were dressed in robes, and we believe that they were angels, who were sent to talk to them and to reassure them, why are you looking up into heaven, right? Jesus, who was taken up for you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. And so they were going to see him again, right? There had to also have been a really great sense of sadness as they saw Jesus go away, right? And to leave them in that way and to suddenly be left by themselves. But these angels came and assured them that this was meant to be, and that Jesus was going to come again. And he also wanted to remind them that Jesus had given them their work, that they were to be witnesses for him. And so they were to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and from that point to be his witnesses to the entire world. And so that gives us a brief understanding of what happened here. The same story, only in a little bit different form, is found at the end of the book of Luke. And Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And so someone mentioned that the story was so good, Luke had to mention it twice. First once in the Gospel of Luke, and then another time in the book of Acts. But it really had a different meaning than just wanting to say it twice. It was to help us to be able to see the connection between the end of the Gospel and the end of God, Jesus' life, and then continuing on into the next phase, which would be Jesus Christ living in the church. And so let's take a look together, brothers and sisters. Are you ready? We're going to take a look at some verses together and some helpful ways to understand why the ascension is so important. First of all, I want to say that the ascension of Jesus was an event of great victory. It was a victorious event because Jesus Christ, who had been dead and then rose from the dead, was carried up into heaven. Right? In victory, it showed that he had conquered death, right? He had conquered death, and he was living, and they saw him, and he was brought up into heaven. And Jesus foretold his ascension. The first scripture is John 6:62. John 6:62. It says this, Jesus was speaking here, but what if you were to see the man, Son of Man, ascending to where he was before? And this comes from a scripture where Jesus was teaching them something very difficult for them to learn. It's earlier when he was in his ministry, and he was telling them how they had to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, right? Meaning that they had to receive Jesus Christ as the bread coming down from heaven, just like manna had been feeding the people of God. They were to be fed by Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And when he mentioned these strange words to them, he said to them, if you don't understand what I'm saying here, what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before, right? And so he foretold what was going to be happening for them, preparing them for that moment and saying, you need to believe. You need to understand. You need to understand where I'm coming from when I'm ministering and teaching to you the importance of me in your lives. And so he said, what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? We could also ask ourselves that question, right? What would we do, right, if we were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? And hold on to that thought, to where he was before, because that's also very important. John 16:28, Jesus said, I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. And he had taught them this. If you have time, brothers and sisters, spend a lot of time in the chapters of 14 through 17 in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking about his life and where he is going, his association with the Father, his prayers for the disciples, his prayers for you and me that Jesus prayed at that time, all in foreshadowing of what was going to happen on the cross and then the resurrection and then the ascension and also his return. Let's go on just for a moment. He returned to the Father to receive glory that was his before and was not given to him while on earth. This is what Jesus was alluding to here when he said that if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before. Jesus always was, right? In John 17:5, it says, and now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So you see, Jesus had glory before the world existed in heaven. And that's just such a tremendous verse to hold on to, John 17, verse 5, right? That he was returning through the ascension, he was returning into the glory that was his before the world existed. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, right? God has highly exalted him. Jesus is highly exalted. He was going back to be in a place where he would be highly exalted. And brothers and sisters, this is probably one of the most important things to remember today. It's very moving. And the reason that it's very moving is this. When Jesus Christ, who was glorified by angels, by the Father, by the heavenlies, came to this earth, he lowered himself and came down into earth. And he was born in a lowly manger, and he grew to be a man, and he taught about the kingdom of God. He taught about God's love for all of mankind, and what happened to him is tragic, right? That mankind looked upon this Son of Man, this Son of God, and hung him on a cross, mocking him, putting a crown of thorns on his head and mocking him as the king of the Jews. And that was the way he was treated here. And so when he goes back to heaven and ascends into heaven, he is received into glory and exaltation. And that needs to be our attitude now. That needs to move our hearts, that we are a part of a humanity who would mistreat the Son of God in that way, that we rejoice that he is in heaven, where he is receiving glory and he's being highly exalted. And that reflects also into our hearts to say, that is the way our Lord needs to be treated in our lives. We exalt him, we praise him, we worship him, we lift him up, because that is what he is deserving of. And so Jesus Christ went back and ascended back into the glory. It was like a great homecoming where the hero comes back and everyone roars with applause and prays for him because he has done such a good job. He has fulfilled the will of the Father. He has conquered death. He has shown the world that he truly is the Son of God. And so let us take that to heart. Another point about the ascension, when Jesus went to heaven and was brought up into heaven, it says that he sits at the right hand of God. A very important part of this Ascension Sunday is to remember that Jesus is at the right hand of God. This is in fulfillment of Psalm 110:1, where it's written, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And so Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he will come. And once and for all, he will be the Lord of the universe for all time, and there will be an end to Satan and all the things of this world. And we will all bow down to him. All of us will acknowledge that he is the only true king. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, "After making the purifications of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." The majesty on high. And there he is today. Ephesians 1:20-21, "That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church." And just remember that he has given him as head over all things to the church. And so that brings us into this picture here, that we are a part of this reign. We are a part of his being at the right hand of God. There is a connection there that continues on, so that even though Jesus is in heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of God, this takes on a very, very strong meaning for our lives, because we are his body. We are his church. And he lives on through his church, and he reigns through the church. And he reigns aside from the church. He reigns totally. But we are especially blessed to know that he is our God. He's our king. And he reigns at the right hand of God. It's a great position of power. We also learn that Jesus didn't leave the disciples alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with them as he had promised. Right? And that is what we're talking about. Coming next week, we're going to be talking about Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But for now, let's look at John 16:7. "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And so Jesus promised the Helper. The Helper was the Holy Spirit to them. John 14:17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And brothers and sisters, that is a great comfort to us as well, to know that we are not left alone, because the Holy Spirit is with us and is inside of us. Right? When we believe in Jesus, when we are baptized believers in Jesus, then we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit abides in us, and Christ in that Spirit. John 14:12 says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." And this is one of those moments where we have to be in awe. Just like seeing Jesus go up into heaven would be an awe-inspiring moment. It is awe-inspiring and very humbling to think that Jesus says, because we possess the Holy Spirit, that we will do even greater things than he accomplished on this earth when he lived here. Right? Because Jesus is going to the Father. We will be doing greater things. That is very, that is just overwhelming to think that we would have that privilege given to us, and it humbles us and causes us to think, how do we live now as Christ would have us to live? We are the ones that possess this Holy Spirit inside of us to do greater works for God. The next point, from his reign at the right hand of God, he is our mediator. So even though Jesus is at the right hand of God and he is in heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit to give us power so that we would be able to be encouraged and helped to spread his gospel. Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God, is our mediator. In 1 Timothy 1:25, a very important verse, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He is a mediator. He is someone who is pleading to God the Father for us. So he's between us, and he was that way on the cross as well. He was the mediator on the cross, standing in for us and putting himself in death's way so that we would not have to die. Right? And so there's, you can think of many other examples of the in the Bible where people were forerunners of Jesus Christ and pointing toward Christ by their standing in and pleading for the people, like Moses when God wanted to end it all and start over again, a new nation, a new people. And Moses went to intercede. He was a mediator and interceded for the people. And so in the same way, Christ, in a much bigger way, in a greater way, fulfilled that image by being our mediator, and that is what he is today. Hebrews 7:25 says this, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." I want to just take a moment and say something here in regards to prayer. We have been praying every day at 12, and we've been praying it at 8 o'clock and at 9 o'clock at night. The 8 o'clock session is for Chinese. The other two are in English. We've been praying, but we need to remember that we are praying and being intercessors for other people, but Jesus Christ is our mediator, and he is interceding. He receives those prayers from us, and it's in his name that we pray. And so even more than we ourselves, it's great that we're praying, but it's exhilarating to know that we are praying through this mediator, Jesus Christ, in his name, and think about the implications of that, that he hears us and that he is pleading on our part, this Jesus who died and rose again, conquered death, ascended into heaven, is given victory and received into glory again and is coming again. Amazing, amazing things that we want to remember when we're praying. Charles Hodge was a very well-known theologian. I want to read you what he said about Jesus as mediator. "Christ presents himself before God as our representative. His perfect manhood, his official character, his finished work plead for us before the throne of God. All that the Son of God as incarnate is, and all that he did on earth, he is and did for us, so that God can regard us with all the favor which is due to him. His presence, therefore, is a perpetual and prevailing intercession with God on behalf of his people and secures for them all the benefits of his redemption." Now, that is encouraging in these times. That is encouraging to know that there is someone there. It's the Son of God pleading to his Father and saying, "Father, be with these people. I intercede for them. I'm representing them to you, Lord. Accept them. You love me, Father. Love them. Love them as I know that you do." But Jesus being there and pleading for us is such an encouragement to know. And we also want to let others know that there is a God in heaven and that there is a Savior in heaven who is our mediator, and we can pray to him in his name and know that he is securing all the benefits for his people. The sixth point: the ascension foreshadows our ascension with Christ, our own ascension. So if it's not awe-inspiring enough to think that Jesus was lifted up to heaven in that way, and to think that the disciples saw him carried away like that, think of yourself in that position as well. And that is what it's talking about, and that is what is promised in God's word. In 1 Thessalonians, written by Paul, it says in chapter 4:17, "Then we who are alive," meaning those who are alive, the believers in Christ, "who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds." That means we will join all the saints who have already lost their lives. They would come back and meet together with us to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And so there's going to be a lifting up of all of us as well. And so there's this upward movement that takes us into the realm of heaven, that takes us away from a world that is temporary and takes us away from all the things that we see around us that are disturbing and upsetting, sin, war, destruction, disease, all of these things will be gone because we are lifted up to be with Jesus Christ forever. And it even gets better. He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Right? Jesus said in John 14, 1-3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That is an amazing comfort as well, that to know that Jesus is going with a purpose to heaven. Why? To prepare a place for you and me. Man, you know, I at this point in my life, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I can trust because of the love that I know is shown to me through Christ, that it's going to be a fabulous place that he's preparing for me. And I know Christ. But when I think about it, there are many people in the world that don't even possess a home, right? That don't have any home at all. And they are, God, when they know Jesus Christ is their Savior, they can take all of this comfort in knowing that God is preparing a place for them. It doesn't matter what level of society that we're in, right? But Jesus is going to be blessing all those who are his children in this way. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this verse is another awe-inspiring verse, to think that we are raised up with Jesus and seated us, and the Father seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? That we would have that association with someone so great, with so much glory, with so much power, with so much love, blinding light of him, and we are going to be with him and even reigning with him. It's amazing. Revelations 3:21 says, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Can you imagine that? The one who conquers, the one who lives a life in belief in Jesus Christ and to the end, he will grant him to sit with him on his throne. As I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. And so the verse that comes into my mind right away is when Paul said, we're more than conquerors, right? Through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. And that is the kind of people that we are on this earth. And that is the message that we bring to others. And so the question could be asked, how does Jesus reign in the world today? Right? How does Jesus reign in the world today? Well, there's some thoughts that I've been really enjoying reading in different books that I have. And I've really gained a lot from those. I just want to share some of those thoughts with you. One thought was, when his people submit to the gospel and he extends his reign throughout the earth through the mission of his people. That is the reign of Jesus in the world today, that he is giving us the Holy Spirit to be his people, his witnesses, just like he told us. He continues to reign from heaven, right? And he told us that he would never leave us or forsake us. And so he is in heaven, but he has never left us. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are then sent out in the missions that we do. Therefore, the church confidently proclaims the coming of the earth's king, right? Jesus is not at the right hand of God, sitting there without activity. He is very actively involved, as we know. He's been pleading for us, right? But his reign also extends through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, in our lives. A couple of examples of how that could happen. If your friend responds with faith to an evangelistic video you share with them. If you talk about how you became a Christian with a colleague at work. If someone is baptized in the church, then Christ's reign has taken a visible form in their life. The church is the reign of Christ is seen in our neighborhoods. We are called to love our neighbors, right? We also will choose Christ instead of submitting to a temptation and following a path that is going to lead us to destruction. The reign of Christ is exhibited in our obedience. Or if you hold on to the promises of Christ in times of persecution, We have been reading about that in the book of Mark on Wednesday nights. Please come and join us. We're reading about the sower and the seed and how things come into our lives and try to take us away from Jesus, but that we want to grow and bear fruit in his kingdom for him. And so this is one way that the reign of Christ is also showed, by remaining in Christ, by standing up to adversity, by saying in the midst of a disease that is going through, a virus that is spreading throughout the world, that we maintain our faith in Christ. His reign is present in that attitude. The ascension reminds us, everyone, that our citizenship is in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. Our treasure is in heaven. And our Savior is in heaven. It reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. Our treasure is in heaven. Our Savior is in heaven. A pastor named Sam Rutherford, who was known for his writings and his prayers, said this: "My heart is not my own. Christ has run away with it to heaven." And that's the attitude that we want to have, right? The treasures of the earth lose their value, right? Jesus is all that we want. And our heavenly treasure is secure in him because he's preserved it for us. Now, I want to read you a quote by a man named Tim Chester that I thought about for a while, but I really feel that it's important to read to you because it's a little bit radical when you think about it at first, but I think that it says the words that we need to hear as we come to a conclusion today. He says, "By telling and retelling the story of the ascension, we are reminded that the one who gives us our identity is absent. We are not of this world because he is not of this world," right? He is not in this world. Right? And so the words can, when you think that Jesus is absent, he doesn't mean that Jesus is not to be seen or Jesus is not effective or Jesus' power is not there. What he's saying is that he was taken up into heaven through the ascension, right, to show us what faith really means, right, and to show us that that is where we are headed, right, and that is what we live for. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are living here in this world, but our citizenship is there, right? We're not of this world because Jesus Christ is not in this world, right? He is in our hearts, in our minds. He is the ruler of the entire universe, but the sentiment here and what the author is trying to impress upon us is that we need to change our minds and to think that we are not living only for the lives that we have here on this earth. We are citizens of heaven, and Jesus Christ is our King, and he is there, and he's coming again to take us with him one day. I just have a few words I want to share with you as we conclude here. Christ reigning in heaven brings him to glory, where he rules over everything. His ascension was necessary so that we can receive the Holy Spirit and live as his witnesses. But his being in heaven and ruling there connects us here as the church to do his work, and also connects us to the home that we are going to. In the meantime, his reign continues to be our example now for worship and for the goal of our mission, bringing others into the kingdom that is eternally led by the King of our lives, a righteous and holy God who has given us everything. We reign with him. And so I'd like for God to have the last word today, and I'd like to read two scriptures to you at the conclusion from Colossians 3:1-4. "Brothers and sisters, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And Philippians 3:20-21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the ascension of Jesus Christ and the valuable lessons that we have in it, Lord. We pray that you'll help us to set our minds on heaven, to set our minds on Christ, to know that we are citizens of heaven when we believe in him, and that there is a place that is planned for us in heaven, and it's a beautiful place for us. And while we are here, Lord, that we are to serve you and to worship you just as you are worshiped in heaven, that our worship time together, Lord, is looked upon as a holy and glorious time that we prepare for and that we give our all to, and that it extends into our lives through the week so that we are worshiping you, praying to you through Jesus, the intercessor, through the mediator, Lord, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel so that our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, our enemies all know that Jesus Christ is King and he reigns. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.